Hi, I'm Atina Danner McFadden. I'm a recent alumna, class of 07, and I'd like to ask you to speak a little bit more about addressing the achievement gap, the field at large, what you think needs to happen, and if you have the time and energy, what you think Erickson needs to be doing to address the achievement gap, specifically with regard to what's happening with minority students. And I'm also curious, Sam, why you don't recognize Preschool for All as a program for three-year-olds.
Okay, let me try to respond. I recognize Preschool for All as having been stated as a program for three-year-olds, but I believe there are very few three-year-olds who are actually enrolled in Preschool for All. It's mostly four-year-olds.
No, we have a third of our children are threes. In Chicago now, I don't know outside of Chicago, but in Chicago, about a third of the children are threes.
Okay, I didn't know it was as high as a third. I know there are three-year-olds in it, but just like Head Start, the majority of the kids in Head Start are 4 years old. They aren't 3 years old either. So I really meant it to be more of a comment of that sort, that there's a preponderance of fours rather than threes. And for many states, unlike Illinois, it is only 4 years. They have to be four in order to get in there. You know, you asked us to think about the achievement gap in terms of its impact on minority kids, and I will do that. But I think we all know that is, to some extent, an artifact of geography. The achievement gap is a problem of class more than it is a problem of race, and it happens that class and race are mixed and very, very difficult to separate. Here in Chicago and many other big cities, but I certainly don't see it as an issue of race. But to ignore race in Chicago is to be totally blind. So that is the case. I don't think schools alone can remedy this. I think that schools have to reach out to families, and I think they have to reach out to the community. But we also have learned something else besides things like that, which are very, you know, it's easy for, one can listen to that and say, it's easy for him to say, it's very hard for him to do that, and that's the case. But then if you'd say, all right, let's just stay within the school and let's put together some really intensive and wonderful interventions in preschool and for 3 and 4 year-olds, fine and dandy. The thing is that if you don't continue that into the early elementary grades, we will lose whatever gains we make there, and the achievement gap, however it's defined, will continue. Therefore, we have been focusing on preschool to grade 3 as a unit, as an academic unit of time, those 4 or 5 years, as a way to make this more effective. A very interesting study was done some years ago by a former colleague of mine at Michigan, where she looked at Head Start kids and looked to see where they go to school, where they go to elementary school. And she found that the Head Start kids in general go to the schools that are composed of the lowest socioeconomic status families in the cities where those kids are living. And those lowest SES schools also happen to have the lowest achievement. So there seems to be something of a cycle here. And people blame Head Start perhaps at times for not doing a good job, but Head Start can bring kids up as high as you want if it doesn't continue thereafter. That's a fact that has been known about Head Start since its inception. And yet we do not focus enough on carrying kids forward. So I would say I'd look two directions. One is I'd look back before what happens when kids get to us in preschool, and more broadly what the community is, and then I'd also look at where do they go after they leave us in preschool, and that is where we have to fight this tremendous inequity.
Well, I certainly agree that the achievement gap is a multifactored phenomenon. It is not just one thing. But one of the things that disturbs me a lot about our discussions is that very often we make the assumption that there's something wrong with the children that or with their families that accounts for the achievement gap. And the one that sends me up a wall is let's teach the parents to teach the children so that there won't be an achievement gap. If the parents knew it, they would have already taught it to their children. poor parents do not sit around and say, I'm not going to teach my child logical thinking because I don't want them to know it. They don't do it because it's not a part of their life. It's not a part of their cultural background. It's not a part of how they see useful things in their world. So if the school or the institutions that the children are attending don't do it, it's not going to happen. And the necessity for schools to provide the kind of information and background opportunities to learn that other children have who are achieving in the academic sphere is, I think, an absolute essential, and it's not happening. You go in schools for low-income children, but particularly for low-income African-American children, and it is up for grabs. The kind of resources aren't there. The teachers don't think the kids can learn. There's an attitude of discouragement throughout the system. And we have very good evidence now when kids go to those kinds of schools, they don't learn. So I think that one of the hardest things we have to do is to figure out ways to turn the schools around so they become places of opportunity for children. And it can be done all over the United States. We've got evidence of schools that have made a difference in children's lives, turned it around. It's not easy. It takes leadership, but it's doable. And it seems to me that one of the real challenges that we have is how do we get the right leadership into these schools so that they can indeed provide this kind of opportunity for children.